Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, then certainly feel free to let us know, and you can do so by the address that's given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Also, we want you to know that these radio sermons, as well as sermons that are presented at the East Abbotville Church of Christ, can be found on our website. There are numerous Bible articles, Bible subjects you can study. We have a Bible correspondence course that you can take at your own pace, at the privacy of your own home. We have a email bulletin that is sent every 2 weeks, and it too contains Bible articles on Bible subjects. And on the website, you can submit your email address, and we'll add that to our database, and you will be receiving the email bulletin every 2 weeks that we email it out. So all of this is available to you, and we certainly would want you to take advantage of it. You can do so by logging on to www.eastalbertville.org. In our program yesterday, we started looking at the question, where does morality come from? And we want to continue in that same thought as we study in our time together today. Bertrand Russell, who was considered one of the most significant social reformers in the 20th century, said this about his lifelong work, and I quote, "I have lived in the pursuit of a vision, namely to see an imagined society that is to be created where individuals grow freely and where hate and greed and envy die because there is nothing to nourish them." End of quote. Well, you know, truly that is would be a wonderful ethical society that Mr. Russell has envision. And yet, what I find is that his activism, his moral activism, is rather odd. And the reason is because Mr. Russell is an atheist, or was an atheist. You know, it's not strange that an atheist would long for a correct and proper treatment of his fellow human being, his fellow man. I think all people, whether they're believers in God or not, they possess a sense of morality that forces them to believe that human beings should rise above the behavior of animals. And, like those who believe in God, atheists believe that people should be guided by humane goodness rather than animal passion. But the strangest thing about Russell's vision is the fact that he, like all atheists, speaks of moral values that all human beings ought to follow and condemns immorality like selfishness, hatred, and bigotry as evils that certainly ought to be shunned. And yet, in all of this, the logical result of a denial of God is that moral principles cannot have any value whatsoever. Now, let me explain what I mean. The Bible teaches that man's moral sense is the result of our being created by a moral God. We read yesterday in our study from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And we talked about how that this, therefore, our desire to stand for certain values as being inherently right and universally necessary in order for us to exist as a society, all of this stands on a reasonable basis, and that is that a supreme being that made us as unique creatures, possessing rationality and possessing the capacity for making moral choices. Atheism, on the other hand, cannot ground morality upon anything except the personal feeling of an individual or the personal feelings of a society, which of course is a group of individuals. So what this means is that our values are nothing more than just random determinations that just simply reflect our personal taste. But they carry no moral weight in and of themselves. Even though our conscience tells us that some behaviors are inherently right or wrong, this reflects only how we feel, not how things really are. So really, what we're saying is, in short, that a universe without God means that open-minded, unbiased morality is a sham. Yesterday, as we were bringing our study to a close, we said that we need to ask the atheist or the skeptic a couple of questions. And one of them was, if there's no God, where does morality come from? And if human beings are simply advanced animals, the product of chance evolutionary processes, what does this say about the worth or the value of the moral standards that we hold to, that makes us a human being, that makes us a society, a civilization? So, in view of that, here's something else. How does atheism explain the existence of the human conscience? Quite simply, they say our conscience is the product of chance evolutionary development. They say that the guilt that we feel if we take advantage of the weak or if we harm the innocent is but just an evolved trait, peculiar, though they will admit, to our species. It's just like the opposable thumb that we all certainly benefit from. I know one of the things that made me impressed when I was in school was in the science, to have the teacher say to tape your thumb down to your hand and see how restricted, how confined you are in what you're able to do. You know, there's just certain things we can do with those other four fingers, but it's with our thumb that can move in almost a 360-degree pattern that enables our hand to be the wonderful thing that it is. So, just like our thumb, and just like our ability as a human being to walk on two legs standing straight, they say that our sense of art is a happenstance of evolution. It assists us in successfully adapting to our environment. And they say that morality proves useful in preventing human beings from killing off one another, and of course, discontinuing the species if that happens. But they say that it's only effective and it does not reflect a true, nor does it reflect an absolute good. Now, friends, that is the atheist explanation of conscience. But there is an inevitable consequence to this very naturalistic, to this very godless worldview. We might call it a hidden thorn on the atheist rose. You see, if man's moral sense is nothing more than an involved feeling, then our understanding of moral principles as having any value is a false thing. All moral values become left up to the way a person feels, to whatever a person chooses, with no logical reason to treat them as being binding upon even ourselves, much less someone else. You know, are atheists willing to live as if ethical standards are just a matter of personal taste? You know, in the atheistic world, Timothy McVeigh, he violated no absolute moral principle when he killed 168 people in the Oklahoma City bombing. Nor did Adolf Hitler do anything evil when he slaughtered 6 million Jews in the Nazi death camp. See, evil implies an absolute moral standard, which is something that atheists will not have. If there is no God, then human beings are and always will be nothing more than animals. Any conscientious feeling inside ourselves that says that we ought to rise above our animal instincts, that's all just a mirage. But atheists simply ignore all of this, and they go right on condemning racism and bigotry and mistreatment of the underprivileged, often with as much fervor as a Bible-thumping evangelist. And Mr. Russell, that we quoted earlier, he proposed a philosophy that eliminated the possibility of absolute standards, and yet he still preached the moral goal of a perfect world. Let me quote it. Perfect world, every sentiment being would be to every other the object of the fullest love, compounded of delight, benevolence, and understanding, all blended. End of quote. It was after his death that his daughter wrote her book, My Father, Bertrand Russell, and that he had recognized the inconsistency of his position, and he acknowledged that there was no logical basis for it. But I'm confident that there are more people that read his book than there are that read her book. Probably didn't even realize the existence of her book. But friends, atheists are walking contradictions. They cannot live as if people really are the animals that their philosophy pictures them to be. They long for a moral world, but they reject the only ground upon which morality can truly exist. Friends, we see your time is gone. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And until then, that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.